So last week, 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, I was on vacation in San Diego and had a little episode. Just kind of a weird little thing that happened, and just kind of broke out in sweats and all that kind of stuff. And Kelly, being the loving wife that she is, recommended and reminded me fairly frequently until I actually made an appointment at the doctor's office to say, hey, you should go get some of this stuff checked out. So I went and I got it checked out, and I got my blood drawn and all that kind of stuff. And you wait for the results of the blood work to come back. I didn't wait overly anxiously. The doc wasn't overly worried about it. But nevertheless, blood work's taken. You're going to get the results at some point. Well, the way that our doctor's office works, maybe this is the way every doctor's office works now, is you get a link, or at least a link to a little portal, which is like your health record stuff. So I got this link to view my results, and it was sitting in my inbox, and it sat there for a while, because I rationalized and said, well, seriously, if it was anything really bad, I'm sure the doctor would actually call. I mean, if it's no big deal, he's not just sending a link, right? So the link sat there in the inbox, and it sat there in the inbox, and it sat there in the inbox, and Kelly finally said, hey, did you ever hear from the doc about that? And I'm like, I just blatantly lied. I said, no, I haven't heard anything. And then it went on a few more days. Wow, that's really weird that they haven't contacted you. Well, I got a link. Open it up. Yeah, I haven't done that yet. There's a certain sense of fear, right? There's a certain sense of fear that kept me from wanting to open up the link. I was able to somewhat stay in control by keeping that in the inbox. It was a false sense of control, obviously, because the blood work had already been drawn and the results had already been known. But nevertheless, by me not engaging it, I felt somewhat safer from any kind of knowledge of what would be in this email. I was in control. It was a known, or at least a known unknown that I was comfortable with. Does that make sense? Right? But fear kept me from engaging, kept me from knowing more, kept me from learning more about what was going on with me. Part of it was not only the fear of something really bad, which was somewhat minor. There was also the sense that, you know, I might just get scolded by the doctor as a result of this little stuff. And I didn't want that. I didn't want to be told that the way that I am living is could be better. How about we say that? I did not want to have my hand slapped. I did not want to be corrected, right? So there's a fear of the unknown. There's a fear of being corrected or chastised or not who you think you really are. Now, I did open up the link eventually and filled out all the little passwords and that kind of stuff to look at the results, and you get a little blood panel, and I have no idea what this stuff means, right? I just kind of looked to see which ones were in range, which ones were out, and then I still didn't even really know, so I went online and tried to figure out what it was, and basically it's, you know, really not that big a deal. The doctor's recommendation was, it's going to be surprising, I need to watch my diet and I need to exercise more, which is what I knew he was going to say, which is why I didn't want to open up the email to begin with, because all I was simply chastised. And something that he's been telling me, quite frankly, I had a big checkup when I turned 40, and 40 is going back a few years now, and really nothing has changed. All right? There is fear, there is anxiety built into all of this. We avoid things. I avoid things. And maybe for you, it's the report card. right? Or the grade getting posted online. I wonder if I got an A. I wonder if I got a B. I wonder if I passed, right? And I don't think I did pass, so I'm not really going to look. Right? Maybe it's the waiting for the coach to say, hey, you're in the starting lineup, or you made the team, or you're off the team, whatever it is. Maybe it's the job interview. Have you heard back from company ABC about the job? Oh, man, no, I haven't. And the phone rings, and there's a certain sense of fear that initially just grips you. The unknown. Or a sense of failure. What if I didn't get the job? What if I didn't pass the class? What if the blood screen was actually bad? It's better for me just not to know. So I push away from that. Fear pushes away truth. Often. Because if it's a truth we don't want to hear, that hurts a little bit. We've been talking over this month, how do we listen to God? How do we listen to God in 2016 in a world of noise and distraction? We've talked about pathways. We've talked about hearing how when God whispers. We looked at Samuel and postures to embrace, to hear from God, to be directed by God, to grow in your spiritual walk. But often we don't hear from God because we don't want to. Right? It's not that God is silent. It's not that God cannot be known. It is not that we cannot receive direction for our life. We just don't want to know. There's a certain sense of fear that grips us. And so we don't honestly go before God and ask for his direction. An honest prayer that says, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. An honest prayer about where should I go? How should I do? How should I be a better wife? How should I be a better husband? How can I engage your community more? How can I reflect more of you? These honest prayers are very rarely prayed because there's a sense of fear. What if God calls me in a direction that doesn't really fit my plan? What if I'm called to a job or a career that doesn't fit the profile? What if I'm called to confess to my wife that I've hurt her and not treated her the way that a godly husband should treat a wife? What if I go before God and say, show me how to be a faithful husband. Show me how to be a faithful servant of yours. Show me how to be a loving wife, whatever it is. And God actually shows it to you. And you realize, yeah, I need to watch my diet and exercise a little bit more. And I've heard the same thing for years and years and years, and I still haven't done it, and I'm a little embarrassed about it. And I'd just soon not hear anything. I'll keep God email in the inbox, and I'm not going to click on that link. I don't totally want to diss God, so I'm going to show up for church. During the long prayer, I'm going to bow my head so everybody thinks I'm praying, but I'm just thinking about the football game. I did that all the time and still do that all the time when I'm not actually leading the prayer. Right? Just go through the motions, but there's this deep fear of being honest before God. God, I don't know what I'm doing. Show me the way. God, you seem lost and quiet and distant. Speak to me. Fear keeps us from engaging that. In John chapter 3, verse 20, at the end of 19 and 20, at the end of which follows the famous passage, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Right? If you've heard that passage, if you haven't, we should talk about that sometime. But at the end of that very famous passage, he talks about fear, or there's a mention of fear, and it just grabbed me. this week or this morning. So John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Now we're going to start looking at just a number of different passages. So I'll start with John 3:16. Let's just be reminded of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not stands condemned already, because they have not believed the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. Their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in sight of God. Part of our fear, obviously, is the unknown. What will God call us to? That's true for any of us. The unknown is often a scary thing. The other part of fear keeping us from listening to God is the known. Is the known sin in our life? The stuff that happens when the doors are closed. The things that are said, the things that are done. That nobody else knows about. But you know God knows. There's something in us that goes, yeah, if God exists and I believe that he does, He knows what's going on. And so instead of honestly seeking him and honestly trying to be guided by him and his word and to listen to him, I'm just going to avoid that altogether because I am fearful. Sin produces fear. And we're all sinful. So to a certain extent, we all wrestle with that fear. In place of that fear, to grow in our ability to listen to God, we need to embrace God's goodness. We need to embrace his love and his mercy. If you look at John chapter 14, verse 26 through 28. John 14, 26 through 28. He says this. Scripture says this. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. This is Jesus talking. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you. The prince of this world is coming. So that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what the Father said. I read the wrong verses. I was like halfway through going, this isn't going where I wanted to go. Verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This idea that fear of the unknown is replaced with the known fact that God, that Jesus has sent the advocate, has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, that he will never leave us. That brings comfort. That brings a sense of peace. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, he says, my sheep hear my voice. He talks about being the good shepherd and watching over and protecting his sheep. And in 1 John, that's why I got in trouble, in 1 John 4, 16 through 18. That's towards the back. Maybe we can even get that one up. We find out that in love, there is no fear. 1 John 4, 16 through 18. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. It is in this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. All right. How do we get past this idea of of coming before God honestly and listening to Him. The fear of the unknown is that God is always with us. The fear of the known is that God is our shepherd and He loves us. All right. Where there is love, where you're experiencing the love of God, there is no fear. We also deal with issues of shame. So fear of the unknown and in of the known brings feelings of shame. I cannot go before God honestly because I know that He knows what I've done. There's a deep sense of shame, even coming to church and even engaging in things. I don't care if it's problems with sex, problems with money, problems with relationships, problems with hatred and anger, whatever it is, whatever is deep inside, that shame and that fear of what God will do keeps us from Him, keeps us from engaging Him, keeps us from listening to Him. If getting rid of the fear is a movement to embracing God's goodness, getting rid of the shame is a movement towards embracing God's grace. In John chapter 8, we have a story of a woman who's being stoned to death because she's been caught in adultery. Does everybody remember the story or hear this story? So all these people pick up the stone. They're ready to knock this lady out because of what she's done. And Jesus comes and He ends up writing something in the sand. And one by one, the accusers begin to leave as it is pointed out to them that if you are without sin, cast the first stone. He's then left with this adulterous woman, this shameful woman. This is a public act. She's been publicly shamed and humiliated. He says, "Woman, is there anybody left to condemn you?" She says, "No." He says, "Then neither do I. Go and sin no more." Shame had been lifted from her. Romans 8, verses 1 through 2. Says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is freedom that comes. There is forgiveness that happens. We reference 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 this morning when we do our confession that whenever we come before God and we are honest and confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us those sins. So fear is replaced by an understanding of God's love and an understanding of God's goodness. Shame is replaced by understanding God's grace, that grace is received when we go before Him and honestly confess. And in some sense, confession is the hearing aids for those who are deaf to God. My spiritual walk, it's just not going the way that I thought it would go. I feel dull. I feel God is distant. I feel there's some sense that there should be more to this Christian life than I'm really experiencing. I just can't hear from God. I don't see Him. I read the Bible. There's nothing. Maybe you need to ask yourself the question, what am I afraid of? What unknowns do I think God cannot handle? And what about the knowns? What things that I have done I think are keeping me from actually engaging Him? That I feel such shame about that I cannot honestly go before God. I want to click the email because I'm going to be told again, diet and exercise. Or they're going to find out a better way to say it. I haven't dieted and I don't exercise. God knows and He forgives when we are humble ourselves before Him. Faithful confession. Having the shame removed from you. Having fear removed from you as you embrace God's sovereignty and His love and His power and all of that for you. Now your ears become unplugged. to hear what he has to say. I'll leave you with this final quote. It's from, as author says this, "The question is not whether the things that happen to you are chance things or God things, because of course they are both at once. There is no chance thing through which God cannot speak. Even the walk from the house to the garage that you have walked 10,000 times before. Even the moments when you cannot believe there is a God who speaks at all anywhere. He speaks, I believe. And the words he speaks are incarnate in the flesh and blood of ourselves and our own footsore and sacred journey. We cannot live our lives constantly looking back, listening back, lest we be turned to pillars of longing and regret. But to live without listening at all is to live deaf to the fullness of his music. Sometimes we avoid listening for fear of what we may hear, sometimes for fear that we may hear nothing at all, but the empty rattle of our own feet on the pavement. Be not afraid," he says, "for lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." He says he is with us on our journeys. He says he has been with us since each of our own journeys began. Listen for him. Listen to the sweet and bitter airs of your present and your past for the sound of him. Be not afraid, for lo, I am with you always. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Fear and shame removes, open us to hear from God. Let's pray. Dear my Father, there are so many things that so many levels cause us fear. The job, the finances, the relationship, the past mistakes and failures and sins, whatever it may be, that really keep us from this fresh life with you, where we hear you and guide you, or are guided by you, where we respond to promptings in the middle of the night to pray, where we respond to your call to serve and to love or to give, whatever it may be. And Father, we confess to you our fear. Remind us that you are with us always and we got nothing to be afraid of. We confess that we are sometimes think what we have done is just too big and too bad for you. Forgive us for our shame. We confess to you right now those things and ask that you just remove that from us. Not so that we can simply feel better, so that we can hear from you and be more and more shaped to be your people. We pray these things in the name of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.